You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the latest edition. Dave Callan here in the studio, joined by the chief football writer from the Daily Star, David Woods, is on the line. First of all, a warm welcome to you, David.
Thank you, Dave. Nice to speak to you.
Looking forward to this weekend. We've got four cracking televised matches, as per usual. And, David, the transfer window drawing to a close. It's not going quietly this time around.
Well, no, two massive transfers, you know, big transfers. You know, 40 million possibly for Stones, you know, 21-year-old, and Pogba. God, we're talking 100 million euros here, aren't we, if it's really going to happen, which it could happen, really could. Mm. I didn't think, first of all, but Chelsea are not giving up, and that tells the story in itself.
I think Tony Pulis would have wanted this transfer window to close earlier than this.
I shouldn't forget. I've written my column about him actually this week. I really feel for him, and he's got a valid point. It is crazy because, like, a lot of people do their bets and predictions based on teams, you know, at the start of August, and sometimes what the team is like, the squad is like at the end of August is so different. And it is really weird, isn't it, that we're talking about transfers, Berahino, Pogba, Stones, they're just three off the top of their head, you know, when there's all these brilliant games going on. It's such a big distraction. You know, and these are young guys as well, and it can't be, I know they get criticism, but it can't be easy for them to handle. You know, suggesting Stones was even spotted crying in the service station, wasn't there, after the game against Barnsley the other night. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but, you know, 21, having all this heaped on you, I don't think it's the easiest thing for them to deal with, these lads.
No, and the transfer window's not quite worked out the way Manchester United would have liked, David. Louis van Gaal obviously wanted to recruit big names this summer, and it's not happened. What do you think's gone wrong for Manchester United?
I don't know. Are they the force that they once were? I don't know. They've got, yeah, they've made, you know, you can't say Schweinsteiger's not a big name, but obviously there's concerns about his fitness. But yeah, they have lost out on Pedro, which, again, that was a, I don't want to jump to too many conclusions, but I think that's one of the best debuts I've ever seen by a foreign player in England from Pedro on Sunday. Yeah. God knows what they were thinking, Manchester fans, Van Gaal and all this stuff about, oh, I didn't really want him doing a favour. But yeah, they don't seem to quite be up with the big boys. I don't know if it's a financial constriction or whether maybe the lustre's gone off from City. City has sort of got so much more money to play with. Chelsea is still big. But, I mean, he has, you know, there's three other names there, that are Depay, Diamond, Schneiderlin, and they're not terrible, but they don't really excite, do they? They don't really get a pulse racing. And up front, they still seem to have a bit of a problem, I think, despite Rooney Patrick.
Yeah, I agree. They look like they need that star striker, that number nine, don't they?
Yeah,
The way Van Gaal, his approach, the approach that he adopts, it doesn't... I know Rooney, as you mentioned, got that hat-trick the other night, but it doesn't really suit his style of play.
No, I don't. He likes to be sort of just behind, doesn't he, with a bit of the, you know, be able to pick people out as well as score himself, you know, and a bit of freedom. You know, he's not an out-and-out striker, is he? I mean, Van Persie, I know he wasn't a great player last season, but, you know, ultimately he's a big miss from what he once was, and he hasn't been replaced. That's that brilliant season he has. It's strange, isn't it? But... you know, I like Benteke. I'm surprised they didn't go for him. I know I'm not necessarily a lot of people aren't necessarily in agreement with me, but I think he could be a cracking signing. I think he's a proper centre forward. Got so many attributes, but you know, I've been proved wrong before. But I don't think I will be this time.
Let's get stuck into these live games, and the ones that are televised this weekend, then, David. And we'll start with Newcastle versus Arsenal at St James's Park on Saturday lunchtime. And Newcastle 5-1 to win this game here with William Hill. The draw 100-30, and Arsenal as short as 1-2. Arsenal have won the last seven meetings between the two sides. They've had a lot of shots this season so far, Arsenal, but they've had trouble finding the back of the net. I wonder whether they'll make a change up front and maybe go with Walcott rather than Giroud this week.
Yeah, I'm not convinced about Walcott, but maybe in a away match where they can perhaps, you know, catch teams on the counter-attack, because Newcastle fans won't accept them, you know, playing on their counter all the time themselves, might be better suited. I'm still not convinced. I think he's a lovely lad. I know he's desperate to play there, but, you know, when he came on against Liverpool, I don't think he had more than two touches. I think he gave the ball. He just... just doesn't look right. I mean, maybe one day it'll all come true, but we talked about this for so long. We walk off as a centre forward. I know Wenger's sort of, you know, trying to help him try it out, but I'm just not convinced. Yeah, strange stuff. Well, they seem happier away from home, don't they, of late? You know, it's not just this season. I think the Swansea game at the end of last season, they seem more free and expressive away from home. They seem a little bit inhibited at home. Mm. And of course, Newcastle, well, 2 points, 17th, ain't starting great, is it?
No,
same old.
the thing that surprised me with Arsenal against Liverpool on Monday night was Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain only got 10 minutes in that match.
Absolutely. He won the Community Shield from them as well, didn't he? And I thought he looked really hot. A lot of people talk about this, aren't they? You know, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Walcott signs this lovely new four-year deal, and they're both going to be bit part players. It kind of looks like that, doesn't it? I'd love to know how he felt. Hopefully, if he plays with England next week, we might get a chance, because he's a good lad. He talks quite expressively, and he's quite open and forthright. And I did an interview with him in February, and he was really a proper lad to talk to. And he doesn't sort of give you the sort of usual boring answers, but you know, like some of them do. But no, it's a strange one, isn't it? Those two, you know. Roy Hodgson would obviously love to see them playing week in, week out, but I don't think he's going to get that wish somehow this season, because where do they fit in, you know?
Yeah, it's just not enough time for him to have an impact, is it? 10 minutes at the end of game?
No, and like I say, he was so good in that Community Shield, wasn't he? I know it's a glamorous or glorified friendly, but I thought, oh, blimey, look, he's got the winner. That's a great start to the season. Here we go. And then fizzles out again within a week or two. He's back on the periphery again. Very strange.
What do you think of this game, then?
I would go for a narrow Arsenal win, I'm afraid, Newcastle fans. I'd sort of 2-1. Funnily enough, I do a little thing with my mates, and we have to guess the score, so I've already got the 2-1 down. I'm not sure if the odds are great, though, for a 2-1, but Newcastle, I don't know, just it's deja vu, isn't it? Deja vu all over again, as we say. Yeah. They do seem to struggle year in, year out, don't they? And I think they're probably going to struggle again this year, unfortunately.
It is 7-1. 7-1 for Arsenal to win 2-1.
Oh, is it?
At St James's Park. So that's decent.
That's decent. There you go. That was quite a few drinks.
Absolutely. Tottenham versus Everton is the late game on Saturday. 5:30 p.m. kickoff this one. Tottenham 10-11 in the market. The draw 5-2 and Everton 3-1.
Yeah.
I get the feeling these two managers are under a little bit of pressure now.
Yeah, definitely. Tottenham particularly. I mean, you can't blame Pochettino for the lack of signings. That's Levy all over every season, isn't it? You know, wait and wait and wait, play the hardball game. But it hasn't really happened to Tottenham, even last year. I mean, it looked like he got them fit, didn't he? This pressing game and everything. But 2 points isn't great, is it? 16th. And I mean, Everton, they've got Lukaku, thank Christ, haven't they? They must be so grateful to have him. Where would they be without him? And obviously, they've got this Stones thing hanging over them. But, I think probably Pochettino's under more pressure than Martinez, you know, because the fans have been quite patient with him, haven't they? But you think how quickly they turned on Piers Boas. It's not going to last forever. You know, they won't turn on Levy for some reason, will they? I don't think they've ever done that. But I think maybe they should do, because he doesn't half mess around, doesn't he? You know, he doesn't have to wait and wait and wait. Now, Berahino, you know, say they get him right at the end of the transfer window. They've got to get him in the squad, get him used to the squad, pay the money, get him, and he'd be playing these games. He might have scored a couple of goals for you by now. But
yeah.
He does like a bargain, Mr. Levy. And, well, he's got the right to do that.
Well, what do you think to Harry Kane this season as well? Because, obviously, it started like a house on fire last season and just gone off the boil a bit recently.
Yeah, it often happens, doesn't it? And probably listeners won't remember a guy called Marcus Stewart at Ipswich. He had an amazing season. Then the next season, he can hardly get a goal. And you sometimes wonder that people spend the season a little bit surprised by someone. And then they all get around, they do their study, and they look at the tapes, and they kind of find them out. And then the pressure's, last season's no pressure on him. This season, he's probably thinking more. You know, as a footballer, sometimes when you start to think and put pressure on yourself, it starts to go wrong. And I'm not surprised he struggled, because we've had a few ones. I'm not going to say he's a one-season wonder, but I'm not shocked that people have perhaps worked him out a little bit more. Maybe he's getting a little bit more of the treatment as well. You know, like Costa gets, a few people are giving a little nudge, and, you know, you've had your one season, mate. welcome to the big time, you know. It's not a shock, but, you know, we mustn't leap to conclusions after, you know, 3 games, but we do tend to, but I think Cam's good because he seems like a great prospect for England.
Do you think Everton can go there and get anything at White Hart Lane on Saturday?
I'd go for a draw. A 1-1, I think, is what I'll put down. I don't know if you want to hear all my predictions. Bottom of the league is horrible. But I did win it last year. So I thought I'd give him a chance this year.
For full transparency, I won't edit that bit out as well. 1-1 draw is 13-2 here with William
Hill. Okay.
On to the Sunday games then. Southampton versus Norwich is the 1:30 p.m. Game on Sunday afternoon. Southampton 10-11 to win the match. The draw 12-5, and Norwich 3-1. It's been a little bit of an inauspicious start to the season for Southampton.
Yeah, it has. You wonder how many times they can lose players and not suffer. Yeah, they've done absolutely brilliantly, haven't they? And I'm sure their balance sheet is remarkable, but you can't keep selling and selling. There has to come a time when it starts to go awry, and I think, I think this could be the season. 18th, 2 points. It's not looking great. Again, we mustn't leap to conclusions, but I don't think anyone would be surprised if eventually, they do get caught out. I suppose they're not really caught out, are they? They just can't keep these players. Everyone knows when a player wants to go, you kind of got to sell them, especially if the money is right. But I'm a little bit fearful of them. And obviously the manager, how much more will he take as well? Because it can't be good for him to keep seeing it happening time and time again.
There's no way these clubs, though, can hang on to those players in the long run, is there, David?
No, I'm a great believer in that. I know there's people slagging off Stones, people slagging off everyone when they want to leave or ask to leave. But I always ask people who are doing that criticism, what would you feel like if you're in your job, say you're working at Tesco's and someone from Marks & Spencer's offers you, double your money? Mm-hmm. Would they all say no? I know it's not as simple as that, but, Stones has got one chance. It's not one chance, but it's a big chance. What's he meant to do? Just say, no, thank you. I don't want to triple or quadruple or five times my wage. I want to stay here forever. And what people forget is Everton signed him from Barnsley, didn't they? They took him from Barnsley. Barnsley got $3 million, a decent price in sell-ons. But everyone plays this game. They look for talent. Bigger teams look to the smaller teams to pinch their best talent. It's the way of the world. I mean, there are times when sometimes people go about it in the wrong way. Maybe Stones shouldn't have handed in a transfer request. That's not probably a great thing to do, but at least he's being honest, isn't he?
Yeah.
Not playing silly buggers. He played the other night. He's not sort of pretending to have a hamstring or whatever, or some of the other tricks that you hear about. So, I can see how fans get upset, but the world is a competitive place, isn't it? People do want to get on. And I kind of feel for them sometimes because it must be so difficult to say no when Chelsea come calling, mustn't it?
Yeah, they do get vilified sometimes, don't they, as
they
well?
Do. It's tough. Like I say, he's a 21-year-old lad, isn't he? And he's got advisors. And you imagine what would his head be like for Everton if he'd said no to Chelsea? What would he be playing like if every week, Everton's struggling, he sees Chelsea in the Champions League, he sees John Terry out of form, Gary Cahill out of form, he doesn't get in the England team because Everton are not Chelsea. Yeah, what would he said be like if he said no? People should ask themselves that. If he said, no, I don't fancy it then so much, I want to stay at Everton, that will do me for the rest of my career. It's nonsense really, isn't it?
I know
my view doesn't agree with it. It isn't the same as everyone else's, but it's certainly what I believe.
As far as Norwich are concerned, they've started the season well. They got beaten on the opening day by Crystal Palace, but since then it's been good for Norwich.
It has, and he looks a very capable and efficient young manager. And I think a lot of the thing here is that pretty much all those players have had Premier League experience, haven't they? They're not coming up, they're not novices. They didn't do that terribly the other time around, did they? They weren't embarrassed. In fact, not many teams are. You think Burnley last year, they went down, but no one really embarrassed them. So I think going down and coming back up, I really think they've got a decent chance of staying up, and I tipped them to stay up early in the season. And I also like going there. It's a nice friendly club, run the right way, play the right sort of football. I'm pleased to see them doing okay. I really hope they stay up.
Verdict on this match then, Southampton versus Norwich?
I'm going for another 1-1 draw.
Yep. Now I can see that 1-1 draw in the market at 6-1 here with William Hill. And we finish the weekend with Swansea versus Manchester United, 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday. Swansea did the double over Manchester United last season. I think they'll fancy this as well.
I fancy them actually. I'm a huge fan of Gary Monk. I was lucky enough to spent some time with him towards the end of our season, spent ages trying to set up an interview with him, and spent, you know, an hour and a half with him before the Arsenal game. And he is a top, top bloke, such a deep thinker. I think he's going places. I reckon one day he's going to have a huge job. You know, maybe England, maybe someone like Chelsea, even Man United, because what he's doing there is fantastic, isn't it? You know, it's so bony, and he still gets into the top points tally ever.
Yeah,
and then they win at Arsenal, double on Manchester United. They gave Chelsea a fantastic game earlier in the season. I know Chelsea had the key percent off, but they were more than holding their own. He's got this lovely way of playing the game whereby he's constantly looking to change the approach, you know, dropping deep, fast ball out, you know, play the ball on the floor. He never wants it to be the same. He wants his players to adapt to whatever they see going on around them. You know, he'll tell them to adapt, but he also wants them to take the initiatives and not just play one way. I've got a bit of a thing about that. Teams like Arsenal play one way, don't they? And people think, yeah, you know, exactly what you're going to do. Swansea, you've got this whole approach where keep the opposition wondering how you're going to play it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a long ball out of defence. If you've been playing tippy-tappy, there's only a long ball out of defence can catch the opponents out, can't it? And I think I'm going to that game and I'm really looking forward to it. I think they're going to win. I really do.
They didn't have the ready-made replacement, but they've got him now in Bafétimbi Gomis.
I know,
he's been fantastic.
Yeah, he has been fantastic. And, you know, and a character as well, isn't it? I know the celebration's not a new one, but I like it. I just, there's something about him that sort of is quite attractive, isn't it? In a sort of, he stands out. He looks so enthusiastic. He looks keen, passionate. His control is good. His finishing's good. He's good in the air. I mean, I think it's a bit of a shock to everyone, isn't it? How he's suddenly been sort of revitalised at the end of last season after going, I think his stats were appalling, weren't they, initially? He couldn't get a goal to save his life, but then he just seems to have come alive, you know? And again, I think Monk must take credit for that, mustn't he? You know, what he said to him, I don't know, but he's certainly given the lad confidence.
He has.
And of course, Montero as well. Bloody hell, excuse me. What a player he's been. Jesus. Yeah.
Well, he terrorised Ivanovic in that game that you just referenced.
He did. And he did the same, I think it's Monreal, wasn't it? He gave a 9 cup games to. You wonder how long they'll hold on to him. I know he's had his injury problems, so he's got. I think we're not going to be alone in spotting this. And I wouldn't be amazed if at the end of the transfer window someone goes in for him with a big offer. Not heard anything, but that, you know, if I was a manager of any team, I'd be thinking, blimey, what's he doing at Swansea? No disrespect to Swansea, but, you know, wingers with that sort of pace and control and the ability to drop the shoulder and go past someone, they're not many around anymore, are they? So a bit Overmars-like, isn't he, in terms of the way he can go past people?
Well, just what we were saying with Walcott earlier, if there's a player like that about, they tend to want to move them more central.
Absolutely. And not perhaps be so effective, but going back to Theo, it would be lovely if he proved me wrong. That'd be fantastic if he could prove me wrong and become, you know, he wants to be like a Michael Owen, but the problem is Michael Owen played with someone alongside him, didn't he? You know, Michael Owen, not always, but he was at his best when he had someone before like Heskey. And obviously Arsenal aren't going to do that. It's him. He's got to do it on his own as a single solitary striker, and I think that's a big ask. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong before.
Swansea 11-5 then to win this game. Would you say that's the best bet of the weekend? What's your favourite bet?
That was what I was going to say. No, that's my favourite bet. My favourite bet. I might even have a bit of that myself. I think that's a decent. I think we're still allowed as journalists to have a bet, aren't we?
I think so. It's not been banned yet. I don't think.
Yeah,
I think you're fine.
Stop the shit. Yeah. No, that's my bet of the weekend. I think the last time I was on it. Your show, I did get it right. I think Liverpool, Man United. I think. This would be 2 from 2.
You've got form then.
Yeah, I've got form. Yeah. But obviously, make a big song and dance about it if you get it right. And if you get it wrong, keep your head down.
That's the way of the world.
Brilliant.
And you say you go into this match. Are you going to any of the matches on Saturday or?
No, my desk are trying to keep me fresh because we're quite small staff on the Daily Star. So I tend to just do one unless there's obviously a couple of cracking games. So no, I've chosen to just do that one. And then obviously we're off with England for the exciting game against San Marino.
That's
the one they're
trip,
all talking about. Yes, yeah, so some trip, yeah.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure speaking to you on this podcast.
Today.
And hopefully we'll chat again soon.
Okay, take care, mate. Thanks, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.